You are Locked On Cardinals, your daily Arizona Cardinals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We're still riding the wave of a Monday night beatdown, taking out the Dallas Cowboys 38-10. The Arizona Cardinals did, and they're looking pretty good at 4-2, taking on the unbeaten Seattle Seahawks in Week 7. We're not going to turn the page just yet. We're still going to look into the victory that went down on Monday night here on Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bo Brock, Alex Clancy. Give us a follow on Twitter at LockedOnAZCards. Loving all the action there. Also loving the action at Bob Rack. That's my Twitter account at Clancy's Corner. That's where you can follow Alex for all his week takes. And we can get into some more discussion about the Cardinals before we start looking at Week 7. Like, is Buda Baker, DJ Humphries, even maybe even Hassan Reddick, reason for us to pump the brakes in our criticism about first-round pick Isaiah Simmons? We're going to get into that discussion. Also, a shocking move from an opposing team that has an intriguing quarterback battle between Kyler Murray and another potential future star quarterback. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network. And I want you to know this, thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment, we're overbearing sports parents. Fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league. A league of football watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. And I was watching Monday night. I had my Pepsi locked in, had some nice snacks, and Pepsi was the refreshment to get me through and power through Monday Night Football on any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. Alex, before we get into our lead story, any further takeaways from Monday night's win in Dallas?
It's such a weird feeling to watch the Cardinals beat a team that may be one of the more overhyped entities in all of humanity, but it still feels like you just sat on Santa Claus's lap when you were 5 years old. You know, it's like I'm trying to check myself, like, well, it's one win. There were backups. The offensive line was completely made up of backups after Zach Martin went out in the middle of the game. And Kyler Murray completed 9 passes, and he only had 1 completion in the second half. And Kenyon Drake had an okay game up until that 70-yard run at the end of the game. But it feels great.
I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, for the better part of 2 decades, have been a shined-up turd. I mean, there's no ways around it. But for whatever reason, it yields intrigue, and it always feels good to take out the hated Dallas Cowboys, despite they've been futile for a while. The reality is, here's a fact, that was the worst loss that the Cowboys have ever had at the Jerry Dome ever since it opened. It was a 38-10 drubbing. And it begs the question, how good is this Arizona Cardinals defense? It's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm Bo Brock along with Alex Clancy, and you kind of mentioned it, given up 4th amount of points in the NFL, 2nd when you consider they've played an extra game compared to Pittsburgh and Denver, the least amount of points surrendered in the NFC, and you've got on Monday night 4 turnovers there, balling out, 3 sacks. Buda Baker was just a man possessed. But then when you look at the reality of it, you kind of get some perspective. You looked at quarterbacks that they faced: Jimmy G, Dwayne Haskins, Matthew Stafford, Teddy Bridgewater, Joe Flacco, and Monday night, Andy Dalton. Arguably 3 of the 6 starting caliber quarterbacks in the NFL, Alex.
11-24, total record that the Cardinals opponents have. But this is, again, something, Bo, that what we saw from the offense against the Jets pretty much in the second half and the defense against the Cowboys was, that's what good teams do to the weaknesses of the opposing teams. And what Vance Joseph dialed up with that defense, I feel like that's like when you're playing Madden against somebody and you're down 9 points with 1.5 minutes left and you just jailbreak goal line blitz. It seemed like that was happening a lot. And the fact was, Andy Dalton wasn't able to get the ball out fast enough, and there was so much pressure got through, regardless of how the offensive line is held up for the Cowboys. Buda Baker, you mentioned, that 1 sack on Andy Dalton, that's a that's a sexy play to watch when a Cardinals defense is, even though they're towards the, they're in the top, they were in the top 10 going into Monday night with points allowed. That's something that's hopefully going to be a trademark play of Buda Baker moving forward. And the defense showed, regardless of opponent, they were the best entity on the field on Monday night. And it was incredible to see. I mean, we're not expecting much out of the defense through 5 weeks. And the fact that they put on that performance under the big bright lights at Dallas Stadium was a beautiful thing.
The defensive game plan, as you mentioned, Vance Joseph took any potential heat off his seat on Monday night. I mean, I think that he probably locked himself in absolutely for the 2020 season, and will no doubt about it get, you know, the shot going forward as the DC. Is there's been a lot of critics as far as Vance Joseph is concerned, but you know, after Monday night, I still was shocked to see where they are statistically as a defense. That also goes into where the rest of the NFL is, but how important it is to have a defense that has the ability to get off the field, to create pressure from different angles, from different spots, and opposing offenses not having the ability to really game plan from where it's going to come from. And, you know, the Buda Baker sack. We're looking at Son Renick, who's now tied a career high in sacks. He's already got 4 on the season. Dennis Gardeck has been playing at a high level with his opportunities. He didn't get a sack, but he's pretty close to tackling and sacking Andy Dalton in the end zone for his safety. Miraculously, the red rifle escapes and was able to just throw an incompletion. But man, I mean, this defense, it's just, I'm torn as where I want to place it in the NFL. And, you know, that might just be fine. But if we said this at the beginning of the season, you said this, all they need to be is capable, and this offense will take care of business. But, you know, it's slowly changing to where their defense is leading the way for this 4-2 Cardinals team.
And we're going to find out. Like, I know that I've been speaking in gray areas a lot over the last couple weeks, because with the Jets, you don't really know. And the Cowboys have one of the worst offensive lines in football now just due to injuries. And it's going to be a polar opposite shift from what the Cardinals experience in week 6 to what they're going to experience in week 7. I feel like there's going to be many more questions answered after Seattle comes into town with that potent offense of DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Chris Carson, and obviously Russell Wilson. If the Cardinals can hold up and keep that, I would say keep that Seattle defense under 30 points, that's a win. That's going to tell a lot more about this defense than what we saw from Monday night. But that doesn't mean that what happened Monday night wasn't supremely impressive, especially with what the expectations were ahead of the game.
Yeah, it's going to be another week and another litmus test. And you mentioned it. Yeah, it's the Seattle offense that's averaging close to 34 points per game. That's tops in the NFL. And then just immediately we get a challenge for this defense that showed up and balled out Monday night. More Cardinals information, breaking news, of course. You want to follow this podcast, Locked On Cardinals with Bo Brock, Alex Clancy. Subscribe on Google Podcasts. Follow along on Twitter at Locked On AZ Cards. Buda Baker, as we mentioned, he was just a man possessed on Monday night. Does Buda Baker and another player that performed and graded out very well on Monday night, are they the blueprint for a struggling Cardinals rookie? We'll answer that question. It's next. It's Locked On Cardinals. I was taking a look at the Pro Football Focus grades, and, you know, sometimes you got to take these with a grain of salt because they don't tell the entire story. But DJ Humphries, 86.9. Buda Baker, 92.6 in their victory over the Dallas Cowboys. Byron Murphy, who we'd mentioned on Tuesday's podcast following the win on Monday night, we both believed that he had his finest game of his career, and absolutely, he graded out with an 81.6. And the Arizona Cardinals just had high marks across the board, with DJ Humphries having the success that he's had now in back-to-back weeks, high grades on Pro Football Focus. We mentioned that he's probably going to be a guy that's going to be in the conversation for a Pro Bowl. Buda Baker is going to be in the conversation for another Pro Bowl. You know, and Byron Murphy emerging in his second season as a second-round pick out of Washington. Do we need to ease off and continue to play the patient game with Cardinals 8th overall pick in the first round, Isaiah Simmons, who got into the game midway through the fourth quarter? He had 4 tackles. I'm going to say he had a pass defense, and it's that in the box score, but he didn't even turn around to play that pass in the game against the Dallas Cowboys. But is Buda Baker, DJ Humphries, and Hassan Reddick having success in 2020 maybe give you confidence that the Cardinals can just play the waiting game with Isaiah Simmons, Alex?
It'd be the easy answer. I mean, it'd be less stressful to say yes.
Yeah.
Because it would give some sort of scapegoat or reasoning as to why Isaiah Simmons isn't there. What Buda Baker has done over the last two seasons with his growth is something that we didn't know. We didn't expect, maybe. And what we've seen now is, and we talked about this on Monday's podcast, that he's now the leader of that defense, right? I mean, he's the leader of that defense because Chandler Jones is more of the Larry Fitzgerald, more of the Paul Goldschmidt, more of the Shane Doan, more of the Devin Booker, guys that just show up, are efficient at their craft, and do their work. I mean, Chandler Jones is an independent contractor on that defense. Go get the quarterback. I mean, more times than not. Buda Baker, he's the last line of defense. He's the one that has to have the ultimate trust of all other 10 guys on the field. At any time, he's the guy. And, you know, unless he's blitzing or, you know, whatever, he's in a different coverage. But yes, to answer your question simply, it won't necessarily take less pressure off of Isaiah Simmons to perform and actually get up to speed at the NFL level, but it'll kind of be the, you know, you've seen Swordfish, right? One of the better action movies ever.
Bo? No.
You haven't seen Swordfish with
Halle Berry and Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
John Travolta?
Wolverine and John Travolta. It's John Travolta talks about misdirection. It's going to be misdirection. People are going to be focusing on the good stuff, and if the Cardinals continue to win, Isaiah Simmons will no longer be a point of contention, or not as much as he has been through 5 weeks or 6 weeks. Does that make sense?
I guess. I hope our listeners are still hanging on after you called Swordfish one of the greatest recent action films.
It's not recent, first of all. It was like 10 or 12 years ago.
Right.
Maybe action film might be loosely defined, but it was a great movie. Great popcorn flick.
Please hang on with us here on Locked On Cardinals. That is, I don't know if we're going to be able to top that hot take for the rest of the episode, but I'm going to try to stick with you here. I mean, but I understand what you're saying about Buda Baker. When he signed that lucrative deal, you and I knew that he was a good player, that he was going to make tackles when they were there. He was going to be a steady player, consistent player for the Arizona Cardinals. What we didn't realize was the impact he was going to make in this season, in what he's done and how he's just created problems for opposing offenses as far as they have no idea where he's going to make that impact on any given play, whether it's blitzing, whether it's taking down ball carriers, knocking footballs loose, or now intercepting the football. And Buda Baker is just an absolute problem for opposing offenses. But as far as it relates to Isaiah Simmons, and we probably got our biggest look on Monday night, with the 18 snaps, I just think, you know, he blew up the center on one play, and it was nice to see, but I still felt like he was a lost man out there. And the role that they're having him play, which is shocking to me, is the inside linebacker spots. He just looks like a fish out of water there. He just looks like he's not playing with a lot of confidence. He doesn't know where he's supposed to be at any given time during a play. And it's surprising to me that, you know, there's been opportunities at safety and there's been opportunities at pass rush. And it seems like those are more narrow focused for somebody that looks as lost as Isaiah Simmons and what his physical abilities are. I'm just curious why the Arizona Cardinals aren't doing that. And we've seen a guy who was in a similar situation as Simmons was Hassan Reddick. When you've simplified things and you just told him to get to the quarterback, he's done it at a very high level with the four sacks.
This year, within, you know, a very small sample size, Hassan Reddick was relegated to the bench.
Yeah.
For a lot of that time. I mean, this is his fourth year. Like, it's a different thing. Like, Isaiah Simmons, it's going to take him a while. And I know we're so quick to judge with bust or star. People through 4 weeks were set to anoint Josh Allen the greatest quarterback we've ever seen.
Right.
And then the last 2 weeks, he's been kind of pedestrian. Like, well, we were wrong. People are so, there's, again, I said this and I'll continue to say it. There's no such thing as momentum week to week in the NFL. And with Isaiah Simmons, all you need to do is have him keep learning. And I agree with you. Inside linebacker may not be his bag. Okay, he's never played it. So playing in his second system in 2 years, we'll go back to the Son Reddick math. Second system in 2 years, second defensive coordinator in 2 years, and his third or fourth position in 2 years, four of which were played in college last year. It's going to take some time. And if the dude's going to pop, we'll find out midway through the year, and it's going to be playing as a beginner in golf kind of approach. It takes one shot.
Right.
It's 150-yard, you know, six iron, seven iron from the middle of the fairway to get on the green. It doesn't even have to be within 10 or 12 feet. It's just got to get on the green for you to be like, I'm coming and playing again. We just need to see Isaiah Simmons have one play, maybe every two games, to show us that the dude is ready to play at an NFL level and can find a home for himself on this defense.
Well, let me ask you this, and kind of phrase it this way, and then we'll switch gears here. We'll get into a quarterback that the Cardinals are going to face down the line and maybe some concerns that we had coming off of Monday night as far as the offense goes. But when we look at how Steve Keim has drafted, and we talk about where we are as far as Isaiah Simmons, and then you take in consideration how well DJ Humphries has played, that he didn't play a down his entire rookie year. He had a red shirt season in his rookie year. Son Reddick, we mentioned it. I mean, barely could stay on the field the last three seasons. Buda Baker has been great. I think Simmons can take something from Buda, where he thrived on special teams early on in his career, and he carved out a little niche for himself until he got the opportunity at safety. Are we okay now, as some of these players, these draft picks that we have, and I'm on record criticizing Steve Keim for this, are we okay with them making impact years, seasons down the road, or should we expect more from Steve Keim, high draft picks, first and second rounders?
I think there's a natural progression of things. And if you're going to draft somebody in a position that he hasn't played before, what makes you think he's going to be ready to roll right away? When it comes to DJ Humphries, things like that, Josh Jones hasn't seen the field. I know he's a third round pick, but people saw him as a mid to late first rounder. It has to happen organically. You can't just force players to be good right away. People just have to learn, like, okay, if you put Andy Isabella in the Cowboys system and remove CeeDee Lamb before Dak Prescott got hurt, Andy Isabella would be putting up numbers. I truly believe that.
Nah, disagree
with that. Not CeeDee Lamb numbers, but he'd be looked at as a competent wide receiver. More than he is now in this system, in my opinion. So, system and learning how to play in the NFL, it has a lot to do with it. And I don't think that, like, this isn't me giving Steve Keim the benefit of the doubt for taking a leap of faith on Isaiah Simmons, where he was arguably the best athlete coming out of the draft. So it comes to coaching, and it comes to becoming comfortable with a new defense, and it comes to just him growing into the NFL and growing into the position. So I don't think that you need to have a first-round pick be an NFL-ready player right away. It doesn't happen like that all the time.
No, it doesn't. And it certainly hasn't happened in Arizona, where we have seen it.
Yeah, right.
There are cases, you know, across the NFL that have people having that misconception that if they don't produce right away, that they immediately get labeled a bust. And that's right. And that's what we're learning. And I'm going to throw myself in there. I mean, I'm eating some crow as far as some of these picks and how they're performing this season. Now, it is also, you know, their role and the opportunity and them taking advantage of it. But, yeah, absolutely, you know, it is there. It's just a different approach. I mean, there are some teams that have to have guys produce right away or, you know, they're going to be in big-time trouble. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bo Brock, Alex Clancy, give us a follow on Twitter at Locked On AZ Cards, at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Rack. We're going to wrap things up. Few takeaways from Kyler Murray's performance on Monday night. It's all coming up. Locked On Cardinals. I was getting going this morning, and I was kind of up against the clock, and I needed something that was going to give me a nice meal replacement. It was, and I turned to my friend, the Built Bar. It's the best-tasting protein bar ever. Not only is it delicious, but it's equally as healthy, and it's more improved and even more deliciouser than before. Six new flavors, that's how it's possible. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp to go along with the 12 original flavors. The bar is covered with 100% chocolate, soft, easy to chew. We mentioned how healthy they are. They're great for the health-conscious person. Lose and maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're great, low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet. You got to go to the website right now to cash in on this. BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, one word. You'll get 20% off your next order. It's using the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And right now you can get it on a limited edition delicious strawberry Built Bar. All the proceeds going to some great breast cancer awareness foundations. So you can not only save 20% when you go to BuiltBar.com, you can give back to a great cause. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off. BuiltBar.com. How often can you use excuses like, I had a long day at work, I'm just not feeling it? It isn't easy to talk about erectile dysfunction, but Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED from the comfort and privacy of your home. Healthcare professional will work with you for the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you the real medicine with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Get started. It's simple. Just go to Roman.com/LockedOn and complete the online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete the online visit today. Connect with your doctor and take care of it. Just go to Roman.com/LockedOn to get $50 off your first month of ED treatment and a free online visit with free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. You guys were great on Twitter at LockedOnAZCards on Monday night, including the next day on Tuesday. Lots of great content on the Twitter account at LockedOnAZCards with takeaways from this podcast, some of the Pro Football Focus grades, some of the tweets from players. A lot of excitement surrounding this Arizona Cardinals team, and it's kind of crazy the ebbs and the flows that you go through as far as an NFL season. 2-0 to start, next thing you know, you're 2-2, licking your wounds, going to New York. A get-right game against the Jets, and I think another get-right game on Monday night against the Dallas Cowboys, and next thing you know, the Cardinals are 4-2 with a crucial matchup with the Seattle Seahawks coming on Sunday in Week 7. We'll be talking to Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks. Alex, we still have some reasons of concern for this offense, though. With, as we kind of talked about earlier, the 9 completions from Kyler Murray, he was pretty candid. He was pretty transparent that he knows he needs to perform better. What are your thoughts as far as Murray and the offense are going forward?
Yeah, I mean, he needs to perform better. When the Cardinals play Seattle, and when they play Buffalo, and when they play the Rams, and even Philly, who is starting to put it together, and when the Cardinals play Philly later in the season, that's going to be pure Carson Wentz time where he actually gets things going regardless of who his receivers are. They're not going to have the luxury of being up the whole game. And Kyler Murray, it's fun now when you're running the ball. And I listen, when I got into the huge tiff with the Ravens contingent, when I said that I would take Kyler Murray over Lamar Jackson to win one game, because if the opposing team went up, I trusted Kyler Murray to be able to throw a team back into the game. He needs to prove that. And he hasn't really had to. The games have been close. They haven't been down a bunch of scores throughout this season, aside from Carolina. The one time that they were driving with a chance to get back in that game, Kyler Murray fumbled it with the blindside guy that tipped the ball out of his hand, which, you know, is on Kyler, but it's also kind of fluky. Like, Kyler Murray, we're going to find out on Sunday. Again, I'm looking forward to Sunday, because there's a chance Seattle could go up quick. And if Seattle's up 10 points early, you're not going to be able to run the ball 6 yards at a time for a first down with the clock ticking. Like, you're going to need to be more efficient. And he's been efficient-ish. He's, you know, like the 35 for 45s, 27 for 40s, which is fine, but it's not upper echelon of the league. And a lot of those passes were dump downs. Being 9 for 21 is never okay as a quarterback. It's great to get a win, but you're 9 for 21 and you're looked at as a franchise quarterback. I don't see that as a good thing, obviously. DeAndre Hopkins, more balls were thrown in feet than they were to his hands, and that's something that's going to have to get rectified quick, because with Seattle coming into town, he's going to have to be way more efficient if he wants to keep the Cardinals in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was watching back-to-back performances from Josh Allen on Monday night. I mean, he was on the game earlier against the Chiefs, and you saw it was as far as his accuracy, there was the concerns, and he was really kind of getting things going with his legs. And we saw a similar performance from Kyler Murray, and he was incredible with his legs on Monday night. And to put things in perspective, despite there being concern, and Blake Murphy tweeted this out at Blake Murphy 7, just what Kyler Murray, and this has been a couple weeks coming, at least in for me, is I didn't think that Kyler's put it all together, but still the stats are there, Alex, where he's completing 66% of his passes. He's on pace for close to 4,000 yards passing, 987 yards rushing, 43 total TDs. That's 27 passing and 16 rushing. Some eye-popping numbers, but yet I still feel like you and I feel like there's more. We can see better from Kyler Murray, and he knows that.
Bo, listen, you know I love you. The projected stats thing, I think, is one of the more overblown things in sport. Like, he's not going to have 16 rushing touchdowns.
He has 6 already. I mean, I know teams are going to adjust, and they'll probably slow that down. But, you know, Kyler Murray, Christian Kirk, Murray's legs and Christian Kirk, his speed, I mean, has been a game changer as far as the red zone's concerned. Now, I'm sure there's something to be said about DeAndre Hopkins just being on the roster and on the field. But the red zone has been great. We're going to see a matchup of the two best touchdown-scoring red zone teams on Sunday between the Seahawks, their number one, and the Cardinals, number two. That's been a huge change for this Cardinals team.
100%.
And, you know, 100%. And we'll get into more of it. But and it also helps that, and Blake was cool about mentioning this as well, is that, you know, the offensive line has been solid. They just surrendered one sack on Sunday night as well. We mentioned how well DJ Humphries is playing. You know, they're only on pace to give up 24 sacks when you talk about projected stats. But I get what you're saying. I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt. NFL defenses will adjust. There's potential of seeing a lull once again. But right now, some pretty crazy numbers that could potentially be put up. And with the fact that I think you and I still believe that he can perform a lot better and more efficient.
I mean, it's going to be a necessity. And listen, you nailed it on the head. Christian Kirk, it seems like they're starting to figure something out too. You know, in the first year, he relied a lot on Larry Fitzgerald, and you saw that Larry Fitzgerald had an uptick in targets and numbers, and he relied a lot on David Johnson through the first half of the season before David Johnson got benched. David Johnson had a handful of catches, had a couple touchdowns through the air. If you can get Christian Kirk going in a way that's not just 9 routes up the sideline or jet sweeps, then there's got to be some sort of way that Christian Kirk can help Kyler Murray become more efficient. If you have that much rapport with timing and everything, it doesn't have to be a behind the line of scrimmage touch pass or a 60-yard bomb down the sidelines. You know, what we're seeing with DeAndre Hopkins is the honeymoon was great for the first few weeks, and then now you're in the marriage phase, and it's not always smooth like it is during the honeymoon phase. And they're going to have to figure out those kinks. Another thing, that with DeAndre Hopkins being one of the best receivers in the league, that's going to help also. I think there's a lot of moving parts here with guys that haven't been in the offense, all playing at one time, and I'm including Andy Isabella. Christian Kirk's been hurt, and DeAndre Hopkins is brand new. So I will give the benefit of the doubt for the time of the year that this is happening. But if we're looking at week 10 or week 11 and Kyler Murray is throwing duds like this, regardless of win or loss, it's going to be more point for concern than it is now.
Absolutely. We're going to see, you know, what this offense does with the next, you know, can they stay ahead of opposing defenses, and, you know, what they can do in the red zone, and can they get DeAndre Hopkins back to being as involved as he was to start the season? I mean, we're looking at 3 straight games where he hasn't had double-digit targets. I bet you would be hard-pressed to find a stretch in his career where he's faced that, you know, where he hasn't seen double-digit targets in three games. We are so far up against it as far as time's concerned. Another fun edition of Locked On Cardinals. Alex is going to take back the hosting reins tomorrow. Corbin Smith is going to join us from Locked On Seahawks. We're going to have a full Thursday crossover here on Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you're subscribed and follow along to the podcast and to the social media accounts, Twitter and Facebook, Locked On AZ Cards, at Clancy's Corner, and at Bob Rack. Follow me, Bo Brock. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. It's fun talking football with you guys. We'll talk to you on Thursday.